Good to be with you tonight, and prayerfully, you won't get too tired of me before the weekend is out. Wondered if we could just bow our heads and we'll pray and ask the Lord to bless our time tonight. Father, we continue before you, O God, and we thank you for bringing us together. Lord, Father, we know there's no coincidences in life. There's nothing is ever done by chance. Father, each and every one that has come here tonight, including myself, Father, we realize that there is a purpose. And Father, we realize that each and every one of us have certainly a plan, Father, that you have mapped out for us. Lord, we pray that we might be obedient. Father, that we might, Father, look to thee. And Father, as we go through this chapter this weekend, chapter 11 of Hebrews, Lord, that we might be blessed. Father, we might be encouraged. And Father, most of all, we might be motivated to live lives of faith. So Father, tonight we ask a special blessing on each and every one that has come. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this weekend we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be looking at some of the individuals who are found there, often been called the chapter of not only faith, but sort of the hall of faith. And when you look at all the names that are there, it's quite an exciting chapter. And I want to remind you that every one of these who are mentioned here lived by faith. And tonight I want to do sort of a little introduction as to what practical faith is. And I think for all of us that are here tonight, I think there's a foundational faith that you and I need to have in order to live a life of faith, in order to live a life of obedience. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn just to a couple of very short passages, one found in Psalm 119. And I'll start reading in verse 97. Psalm 119 and verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. Verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Look at verse 100. I understand more than the ancients. Verse 100 reminds us that God gives more understanding as I show obedience to what He has already shown us. And I want to develop that point tonight. Talking about faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 that Dave read to us tonight. It talks about, I don't know if it's really a definition necessarily of faith, but certainly something that we can start at. And it talks about faith being the substance of things not seen. But there's a key word there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and it's evidence. Evidence. Because so often, many of us, I think, confuse faith with sort of if it's faith, then, it's sort of hocus-pocus type of thing. If it's faith, there's, you sort of got to kiss your brains goodbye to believe certain things. And, you know, really, when the world looks at Christianity to some extent, that's what they think. That if you believe in God, who you can't see, and if you believe, for example, that God created this universe and spoke it into existence, there are many people out there that will just, you know, think that's absolute foolishness, because to them it's not scientific. It doesn't have reason. But the Bible is very clear in Hebrews chapter 11 that this faith is based on evidence. And you and I weren't there when the world was created, neither was anyone else except God. And but I'll tell you what, folks, you and I live every day by faith. You know, I got into my car tonight. Sorry I was a little bit late, Steve, but or Dave, I left Toronto this afternoon. I had to be there. I left at 4:30 from Sudbury this morning, went down to Toronto, and I don't know how anybody can live in Toronto. But I tried to leave on time, but you know, you get caught in traffic there. But you know what I didn't do today, guys, before I got in my car? I didn't take the wheels off and check my brakes. So I had a certain amount of faith, right? Faith that my brakes were going to work. And you and I live by faith every day. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I got into a plane and let some guy that I've never even met fly me at 30,000 feet to my destination. Never met the guy. Now, that takes faith, doesn't it? But you and I live by faith, and yet when many people think of Christianity, they'll go, well, you know, you're putting your brain in autopilot. You're not thinking straight. You're not, you know, this is craziness. There's no evidence. And yet, the Bible would remind us that, first of all, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And one thing God will do with you, young people, is that if you will believe His Word, He will open up to you understanding beyond your teachers, understanding beyond the elders of the ancients. And you're in such a wonderful position of privilege. You're in a minority, I know. But it's tremendous to think that the Lord will give us this type of wisdom if we have faith. Now, turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 4. I just want to read a couple of more verses here. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 5. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5. It says here, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. So there's really three steps, it seems, as we read this in the book of Proverbs. Three steps of wisdom. The first one is knowledge. And what's the beginning of knowledge, young people? You should know this by heart. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. I'll tell you, folks, if by the end of the weekend, and some of you might have already grasped this, but my prayer for you is that you would get this understanding that God would have you to get. It's interesting the way Proverbs says it, you know. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Well, what is it? It's a choice. It's a choice. You know, it really doesn't matter how much gray matter God has given you in advance. What He's saying here, what the writer of the Proverbs is saying here, wisdom is out there to get. Go get it. Understanding is out there to get. Go get it. And it's a choice you'll make. It's, you know, like I said, we live by faith all day long. You know, you didn't check the chair out. You didn't go and see if it was going to hold you up. You just sat there. Well, there's a certain amount of evidence that most chairs will hold you up. And folks, some of the greatest truths that God has for us are discovered by simple faith. Simple faith. A man or a woman of faith has more insights into life than unbelievers can ever have. I'll tell you, folks, I lived as an unbeliever for 30 years, and I thought I was smart because I did well in school, and I excelled in education. But you know what, folks? I'll tell you what. When I first became a Christian, I realized at that stage, as God opened up His Word to me, because there was a day on October the 14th, 1982, when I bowed my knees to the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted Him as my Savior, my eyes were opened. And I got understanding. And as I believed in God's Word, and I believed that God's Word really was God's Word, He opened up a whole realm of understanding. Because I was ready to get it. I was ready to get this wisdom. And you know, I don't go around necessarily, you know, in a sense of pride. And I look at the world. And I look at some of the professors and some of the junk that I listened to in years of university. And I was part of that. I wrote a book in the late 70s on evolution. I'm ashamed to tell you. But how ridiculous it was. Because it wasn't based on anything. It was just based on what I've been told. Without thinking. Without really examining any of the evidence at all. I just thought I would impress people with, a certain theory that I had on why you and I get low back pain. Because we were meant to walk on all fours, right? Your great-granddaddy was an ape, wasn't he? Well, you know, that's what they teach. You take a swat at a mosquito and you just happen to hit one of your distant relatives. We just come from some form of soup coming out of the Big Bang. And, you know, I took that as rote. I took that as science. I took that as truth. I just didn't know any better. I did it in ignorance. God's greatest truths are discovered by simple faith. And folks, I want to tell you here tonight that Hebrews chapter 11, and when you hear some of these names, and I can't wait to meet some of these people in heaven, from Abel to Noah to Enoch to Abraham and Moses. Can you imagine? But you know what, folks? You know what I like? Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11, because there's some good news for you and I. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. Who's mentioned first? Look down there. Who's mentioned first? Who are the first people mentioned in Hebrews? You and I can join that list of the Hall of Faith. God's Hall of Faith, be famous in eternity forever. Look at that verse, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand. That's you and me. When I read that several years ago, I became Pentecostal for a few minutes.
I was saying hallelujah. I've joined. I'm part of Hebrews chapter 11. Folks, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe that verse? Do you believe that verse? I do. Somebody asked me once, he said, Tony, do you really believe God created heavens and earth in 6 literal days? I mean, 24-hour days? I said, yeah. Yeah. And I said, the only question I have about that is why it took him so long. You see, for me, my God has no limitations to His power. None. The God of this Bible has no limitations. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I don't know about your God. I don't know if you put your God into, you give Him limitations. And you know what, folks? I don't. I have no limitations on my God. And the reason is very, very simple. The reason is simple. You know why? Because the God of the Bible is a powerful God, an awesome God. And I don't have any limitations that I can put on my God. Now, I can put limitations on my brain. And I can tell you, folks, from a scientific point of view, most of your brain isn't working. I don't mean to be negative, but this weekend we'll develop this thought a little bit. We're far from capacity in terms of intellectual. You might be pretty smart, but most people in the medical field will tell you that you're lucky to use beyond 2 to 5% of your brain. The rest of it is just water and dead matter. Did you know that? Every time I look at that 2% milk, I think about the size of my brain that's working. But that, listen. God, I see no limitations with my God. And the thing is that, think about this for a minute. What kind of a God would He be if you had Him all figured out? Think about that. You see, the Bible tells me that if I believe what He has already shown me, and I do it by faith, God will show me more. And as you and I grow in our Christian walk, Billy Graham went through a real struggle. He was in Bible school. And to him, the Bible was full of contradictions. And, he sort of approached the Bible from sort of a negative point of view. He was sort of trying to disprove it. And in his mind, he saw a pile of contradictions. Well, he was really struggling with that, as you can well imagine. Here's a guy that was very much gifted by God, but was struggling with some of the basic fundamental truths of Christianity. And in his autobiography, Just As I Am, I read this portion, and it really struck me because there was a day in Billy Graham's life when he said, you know what, God? I don't understand everything about the Bible. I don't understand everything about you. But now I have decided in my heart that what I don't understand, I'll ask you to clarify for me, and if you don't, that's fine. But what I do understand, I will now believe, and that will be the end of it. And you know what? The rest is history in terms of Billy Graham. You see, God energized him. Young people, you can go through life and you can question, and that's all right. God's a big God. He can take your questioning. But you know what, young people? If you want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to share something with you that I think is very important. You have to come to a point in your life where you humble yourself. You accept that you don't understand everything, and you never will, or maybe in eternity. And you accept by faith that God is an awesome God. And I'll tell you what, it'll revolutionize your lives. It will. It will. Because the most, the most basic issues of life, listen, some of the most basic issues of life have become a mystery to most people because they refuse to believe God's word. Psychologists tell us this. The fundamental issues of all psychology is this. When you have problems in your life, there are issues of certainty that bother you. And you know what they are? Where did I come from? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? You know what, young people? I'll tell you something. I lived for 30 years and I had no answers to that. I had guesses. I could sit in philosophy class and become very philosophical. And some of the numbrain ideas that I had were based on nothing more than, Tony Martinisms. They were stupidisms. They were based on nothing. Trying to answer some of the most fundamental questions about why are you here? Young people, where do you come from? You can never have peace. I'm going to tell you something, and this is why the world fills themselves with alcohol and drugs and one relationship to the next relationship and all these things. Because you know why? Because they don't know where they came from. They don't know why they're here. And they don't know where they're going. And you know, some of you people that were brought up in a Christian home, maybe you've never struggled with those things. But I sat down this afternoon in Toronto, Ontario, with a guy that made $3 million last year. Played in the NHL last year, and I had lunch with him this afternoon. And I'll tell you, I looked at that man across the table from me, and I said, you know, in my heart, I was praying for him because you know what? He's a fool. And he's at the end of his career, and the strike is going to probably end his career now because he's at that age. And you know what? He has gone from relationship to relationship to relationship. He's got all the money in the world. He's a very unhappy man. And you know why? Because I tell you, if you looked at all, if you were to bring it back to the basics of it is, you know what? All the money in the world not going to satisfy the longing soul. Where did I come from? Why am I here? For his question is, he's got nothing else but hockey and it's coming to an end. You got all the money in the world, but no peace. And filled his life with foolish things and now regret. You know, folks, I'll tell you something. You have no idea. Well, maybe some of you do, but probably a lot of you don't. You have no idea the blessing that God has given you if you've been brought up in a Christian home. When you were given those basics of faith, I'll tell you, folks, that was strange to me. I was ignorant of those things. I was ignorant of a God who loved me and a God that was ready to fill my mind and my heart with understanding. I was ignorant of it. I had no idea that there was, you know what I didn't know? I didn't know that there was truth. You know, the Bible says that if you accept Jesus Christ, He's the truth. And the truth will set you free. You see, you can never be truly free until you have the truth. Why are you here? Think about that. That's a complex question, isn't it? Where do you come from? And especially, where are you going? Folks, this life is short. And you might, you know, you look at me, I'm ancient, right? That's what you're thinking. You got a long way to go. I'll tell you what, folks. I was your age once, honest to God. You know, you'll probably look at your parents and, you know, they never were your age. They can't understand it, you know, but they were. Really, honest. We struggle with the same things you struggle with. God's greatest truths are discovered by simple faith. By simple faith. The Bible says to get understanding, to get wisdom. And folks, I it says here, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. It's fundamental. You know, we do a little kids club here in the chapel. And, one of the blessings of this kids club, a lot of kids from the neighborhood around here come here on Monday nights. And I'll tell you, as Steve would know, and Dave here and some of the others that are here tonight, a lot of these kids, they have no idea. Like, you can walk in Sudbury, it almost boggles me, because I've been a Christian for such a long time now, I sort of forget what the pagan world is, you know? Like, we live in a pagan country. And if you don't believe that, you come here on Monday nights, and you get little kids, and you know what? They have no idea what the Bible is. They have, you know, a lot of them come from broken homes, and single parent families. And they have no sense. They're brought up in pagan homes, folks. You know, in this country, in this neighborhood, we have no idea the privilege that we have. And I look down at this verse. I'll never forget, because I was saved on a Thursday night. Now, you got to understand something. I had never read the Bible in my life. I didn't. When somebody said the Gospel of John, I didn't know where to go to find that. I didn't know that Genesis 1 and 1 existed. If I'd have heard it, I can say to you, even at 30 years old, if I heard Genesis 1 and 1, I might have heard it in a movie, Ben-Hur or something like that, or the Ten Commandments or whatever. I might have, but I don't remember. And I remember I got saved on a Thursday. On a Sunday morning, I went to the Bible Chapel in Timmins. And I'd never been to an evangelical church, ever. And the guy got up, a guy by the name of Chester Donaldson, got up, and he opened up the Bible, the very first time I ever gone to church, in an evangelical church, and he said, I want you to open up the Bible to Genesis chapter 1. Now, you got to understand something. I didn't know where that was. But I knew a little bit of about the word Genesis, beginning, right? So I thought it was pretty sharp. I knew where to find it. And I figured, he said, he read that verse. I said, good, he's going to go through the whole Bible today. Because I figured, well, maybe, you know, every time they speak, they start at the start and go to the end. I don't know. I had no background. I had no idea. But he started Genesis 1 and 1 in the beginning. And I remember I remember sitting there. Now remember, I got saved on a Thursday. This is a Sunday. I'm sitting there and he opens the Bible. I didn't even have my own Bible yet. And I had a pew Bible and I read that and I looked at that verse and I go, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now you got to understand something now. I had written a book on evolution. I had believed evolution hook, line, and sinker. I taught it. Then I saw this verse, but remember now, I'm a little baby in Jesus Christ. 3 days old. I looked at that verse, and you know what I said in my heart? I'll never forget it. The joy that I had that day. You know what? I said, I believe that. I believe that. And I said, I don't care what's in this book. I hadn't read it yet, but I says, I'm going to believe this whole book because I know in my heart of hearts, this is God's Word. This is God's Word. Now, folks, this might seem elementary to you, but I'll tell you what. Unless I'm a little bit out of tune here, you're going to be challenged on these very basic fundamentals. And like I taught these little kids up here a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about this verse, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. These little pagan kids. And I'm so glad this year that we're starting right from the very foundation to build a foundation in these kids. You know what I found out? They have no idea. And they're being introduced to a God that they didn't know existed. Folks, I'll tell you something. You know what I said to them? You ever played baseball? All the little kids, yeah, they understood baseball. I said, how many bases are there? Oh, there's 3 bases and home plate. I said, if you hit a home run and you don't touch first base, does it count? No, it doesn't. I actually saw that happen once. In a major league game. Guy forgot to touch first base. Imagine, hit the ball over the fence, but he never touched first. And the umpire just stood there, did nothing happen. And then they appealed it over at first base, and the umpire went, you're out. And folks, I'll tell you something. You don't believe that first verse? You're not going to believe the rest of the book. You don't believe in that first verse? You're going to have trouble in your Christian walk, I can tell you that. Now, you can be a Christian. And not necessarily, you might think there's another way. God did it in another way. But you know what, folks? I'll tell you something. Just like baseball, you better touch first base. And this is first base. It's foundational. And if you want to get understanding and get wisdom, then you had got to believe the very first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I'll tell you, you won't struggle with it if you... there's a lot of evidence. I mean, we could sit here tonight and we could... God's not asking you just to kiss your brains goodbye. That's not what I'm saying to you at all. I think if we are all honest with ourselves and we had a good look around, it's amazing that you'll realize that the evidence is there, isn't it? Look out at the sky. Who did that? If you were to believe your teachers and professors, it just happened. Huh. I think it takes a lot of faith to believe that it just happens. I think it takes less faith to believe that there was a designer. I just pulled some stuff out of here tonight. Thought might just get you thinking a little bit. Scientists say that there are up to 100 billion trillion stars in the heavens. Now, I can't get over that, because to think, I remember reading a book, I must have been in the 60s, but it talked about, they were sort of laughing because as late as the early 1900s, there was a thought that there was 120,000 or so stars in the heavens.
120,000. And then, of course, as the telescopes got bigger and better and more powerful, I remember when I was a kid, you know how many they were up to? They were up to a couple of billion. And you know what they're up to now? 100 billion trillion. Well, if we were to count, 1, 2, you know how long it'd take you to count to a trillion? Well, we're going to be here for more than the weekend. You know how long it takes you to count to 3 trillion? A million years. A million years. Just to go 1, 2. That's to 3 trillion. It'll take us a million years. Well, why don't we stay a while? But the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And isn't it interesting, verse 16 of Genesis chapter 1, it's interesting, the Bible, you know, talks about this creation, but doesn't spend a whole lot of time there. Here's what it says about the stars. Verse 16 of Genesis, then God made 2 great lights. Oh, boy, just was having one of those days and said, you know what, what a God! Made the sun, and then he made the moon. And then it says, oh, by the way, and a greater light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. Oh, he only made 100 billion trillion of them. Folks, I don't know about you, but before I got saved, I had no idea what God was like. He only made 100 billion trillion, but that's what we know because, you know, give us a few more years, the number's going to go up. By the way, Psalm 147 says this. Take us a million years to count to 3 trillion, but it talks about our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 147, He's named every star by its name. Now, 100 billion trillion. Now, you know what? You guys are young, and you probably could do this, but if you all gave me, I'm getting a little older, you gave me your names tonight, I'll tell you, don't go very far, because within a couple of minutes, I have forgot. Okay? And don't take it personally. It has to do with my, you know, if we all got 2%, when you get older, you get less than 2%. It starts degenerating. 100 billion trillion stars. Folks, what do you think heaven's going to be like? It says, I go there to prepare a place for you. You know, do you think that heaven's going to be just sort of, you know, the ones that are musicians might like it a little better because they get to play the harp with the angels? You know, we have trouble stretching, don't we? Because we don't even realize what's even in the universe that we know about. Listen to this. The sun is 1,300,000 times the size of the earth. Did you know that? Oh, gee, I used to look up at the sun. I knew that from school, but I never thought of it. It's 1,300,000 times the size of the earth. And God said, oh, let's make a light. But compared to the star Antares, if it were hollow, it could hold 64 million suns. That's one star. Do you think that just happened? Do you? Do you think it came out of a soup? There was no design. Folks, if the earth was 1 mile farther away from the sun, we'd all be, of
called it Sudbury. I know you're thinking it's cold. None of us could live. Just a mile. Just a mile farther than the sun than we are. We would all be just completely frozen to death. We couldn't live. That little baby who was born in a manger. Billion, trillion stars. He said, and he made them also. Now, I don't know about you, but that blows me away. You take the sun, you cut one of those stars, and you could put 64 million of those suns, and they'd never touch the outside of that star. That's how big one star is. What do you think, folks? God says this. You want to join the Hall of Faith? You get to get your name up there before Abel and before Abraham and before all the rest. But you got to believe Genesis 1 and 1. Is there evidence? I'll tell you what, I look under a microscope all day long. And anyone that takes one day of medical school ought to get down on their hands and knees and praise God of the universe, just looking at the human body that's fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you know that right now, going through your body are 60,000 miles of blood vessels that are comprised of arteries, veins, and capillaries? 60,000 miles in you! And you're trying to lose weight. Stop in there. You got 60,000 miles of arteries. Isn't that something? 60,000 miles. In you. There's 5 to 6 quarts of blood are constantly flowing in those 60,000 miles of vessels. By faith, we understand how the worlds were framed. Folks, I'll tell you something. You get to first base and touch that tonight if you haven't done that already. I know some of you have. Some of you have no issues. But I also sense that there's probably people in here that have questioned that. And you think, well, God, in order to fall into the scientific pattern, and, let's be honest with ourselves. Anybody here that's taking any science is based on what? It's based on observation, right? And repetition. And you know what? That event, Genesis 1 and 1, nobody was there except God. And He recorded it for us. It's never going to be repeated. So, you've got to sort of come out of the scientific realm to some extent. Science, and, I could spend a whole hour talking to you about how unscientific science is. I'll tell you, in the medical field, it's very unscientific. Folks, I'll tell you, there's things that we used to believe. Give you one example. When I was a kid, everybody in my class lost their tonsils. They didn't fall out. They were taken out. And can I tell you why? Not only did our mummies promise us ice cream if we got our tonsils out at the first sign of infection, usually we were in grade 1 or grade 2, but because medicine told us that tonsils were as a result of evolutionary processes and they were no longer needed in your throat. And I'll tell you what, folks, I'll tell you how science changed, so-called science changed. Go and try and get your tonsils out today. If you find a doctor that will take your tonsils out, you come and see me, and I will personally write you a check for $1,000. And I mean that. Because you know what it's going to take? You better have gangrene in your tonsils. You know why? Because you know what they've discovered? It's one of the most important parts of your immune system, your tonsils. And unless they're gangrenous, they won't take them out anymore. So you know what, folks? You can lay your whole foundation and your whole life on science. And I know a lot of people that have. They put their whole faith in a system that changes. And I'm going to tell you something. My God doesn't change. And my God is a powerful God. And I joined Hebrews chapter 11, the honor roll of faith on the day that I trusted in His Word rather than trust in men. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to say this with any presumption. I'm going to tell you this based on God's Word. I know where I came from, and my great-granddaddy was no ape. And I know why I'm here. And I know where I'm going. And you don't think that doesn't make a difference in a person's life? You want to be set free? You want to be set free from alcohol? You want to be set free from the addictions of drugs and sex? You get your foundations right, and you can be set free from those things. And I'll tell you, folks, it comes down to faith. Faith, small faith in a big God. Small faith in a big God. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, again, Father, tonight, and we ask You to bless our time. If there be anyone in this room here tonight that has struggled with those issues that we talked about tonight, Father, foundational truths in God's Word, Father, I pray that You might, Father, just anoint, Father, from on high, that You would, Father, set any doubt aside, and Father, that each and every one of us would be free indeed, because we believe, Father, in Your Word. The Lord Jesus Christ reminded us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall never pass away. Father, we thank You that You have given us a book. And Lord, we admit that we don't understand everything in that book. But Father, we know You are the author of it, and that we can set our faith on it, that we can plant our feet on the rock of Your Word. And Father, that Lord, our eternal salvation is Father written in there. The work of Your Son at the cross. Father, the powerful message, Father, of creation. And Lord, tonight I just pray for each and every one that has come. Lord, would You bless them? Give them a great weekend. Father, that we might be encouraged and provoked unto love and to good works, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.